It's November the 30th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. Today marks the end of the 11th month that we have spent together on the Bible bus. That means only one more month after today, we will have reached our destination. Thank you for being with us. Let me remind you that if you hopped on the Bible bus just recently, and you want to watch the earlier videos, it's easy to do. Go to keepbelieving.com, and there you'll find a link that says, Let's Read the Bible. Click on that. That will take you to the page where we have all the videos organized by month, January, February, March, April, May, June, and so on. They are all there available 24/7, all of them free. You can watch, you can download them, whatever you want to do. So, I hope you will take advantage of that. Now, today, one day only, the book of Joel. You do remember Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, the minor prophets. Not because their messages were minor, they weren't. These were shorter books with major messages, shorter books with big, important messages for us. And the thing is, Joel only has three chapters, so it's one day. The Bible bus is only stopping here today, but there's such a great message for us. Just a quick word about Joel. This was God's crisis man. He wrote to people about the coming of the day of the Lord. He said to them, the day of the Lord is here, it's coming, and it is coming. It's the day of the Lord is here today, it's coming soon, and it's coming later. That's because in the Old Testament, the day of the Lord doesn't refer to just the day of the Lord at the end of time. As we would think, we say the day of the Lord, we're thinking of when Jesus comes back to establish his kingdom. That's not all that is implied in the Old Testament phrase. The day of the Lord speaks to any time in history when God breaks through in a big way to judge and to bless his people. So we're going to find out in the book of Joel, the day of the Lord, which is used many times in these three chapters, actually has three different meanings. In chapter 1, it's the immediate day of the Lord, the actual plague of locusts that has come and has stripped the leaves and the plants bare. That's the immediate day of the Lord. Chapter 2, the intermediate day of the Lord. That's the coming of the Assyrian army, which was yet in the future, but it was going to come. And then finally in chapter 3, the ultimate or final day of the Lord. That's the one we know about, when Jesus comes again to establish his kingdom. So the immediate, the intermediate, and the final or ultimate day of the Lord. The other thing I want you to know about Joel is he was very early. We would give him dates like 835 BC down to 796 BC, roughly equivalent with the time when a man by the name of Joash was on the throne in Jerusalem. Joel prophesied about the events in and around Jerusalem, primarily to the southern kingdom of Judah. It was a day in which there was calamity. There was going to be greater calamity, and he warned of the ultimate day of the Lord. Okay, here's a very simple outline for the book. Chapter 1, the day of judgment. Chapter 2, the day of repentance. Chapter 3, the day of blessing. Judgment, repentance, and blessing. Now let's pray. Father, as we come to study the book of Joel, we pray, Lord, speak to us. Make your word clear to us. Help us to know what you're saying. Help us to live in the light of the soon coming return, the ultimate day of the Lord, yet future to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Joel chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders. Listen, all you inhabitants of the land, has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? Tell your children about it, and let your children tell their children and their children the next generation. What the devouring locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust has left, the young locust has eaten. What the young locust has left, the destroying locust has eaten. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you wine drinkers, because of the sweet wine, for it has been taken from your mouth. For a nation has invaded my land, powerful and without number. Its teeth are the teeth of a lion. and it has the fangs of a lioness. It has devastated my grapevine, has splintered my fig tree, and has stripped off its bark and thrown it away. Its branches have turned white. Grieve like a young woman dressed in sackcloth, mourning for the husband of her youth. Grain and drink offerings have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, who are ministers of the Lord, mourn. The fields are destroyed. The land grieves. Indeed, the grain is destroyed. The new wine is dried up, and the fresh oil fails. Be ashamed, you farmers. Wail, you vine dressers, over the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The grapevine is dried up, and the fig tree is withered. The pomegranate, the date palm, and the apple, all the trees of the orchard have withered. Indeed, human joy has dried up. Dress in sackcloth and lament, you priests. Wail, you ministers of the altar. Come and spend the night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God, because grain and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. Announce a solemn fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the residents of the land at the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Woe because of that day, for the day of the Lord is near and will come as devastation from the Almighty. Hasn't the food been cut off before our eyes? Joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seeds lie shriveled in their casings. The storehouses are in ruin, and the granaries are broken down because the grain has withered away. How the animals groan. The herds of cattle wander in confusion since they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep and goats suffer punishment. I call to you, Lord, for fire has consumed the pastures of the wilderness, and flames have devoured all the trees of the orchard. Even the wild animals cry out to you, for the river beds are dried up, and fire has consumed the pastures of the wilderness. That's Joel chapter 1. That's the immediate day of the Lord. This describes in vivid detail, as you heard, that's a literal plague of locusts on the land. Now, Joel chapter 2, the intermediate day of the Lord, the day of repentance. He's going to mention the locusts, but now they're a symbol for the coming Assyrian army, which is yet in the future. Okay, ready? Joel 2. Blow the ram's horn in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the residents of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. In fact, it is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and total darkness, like the dawn spreading over the mountains. A great and strong people appears, such as never existed in ages past and will never come again in all the generations to come. A fire devours in front of them, and behind them a flame blazes. The land in front of them is like the Garden of Eden, but behind them it is like a desert wasteland. There is no escape from them. Their appearance is like that of horses, and they gallop like war horses. They bound on the tops of the mountains. Their sound is like the sound of chariots, like the sound of fiery flames consuming stubble, like a mighty army deployed for war. Nations writhe in horror before them. All faces turn pale. They attack as warriors attack. They scale walls as men of war do. Each goes on his own path, and they do not change their course. They do not push each other. Each proceeds on his own path. They dodge the arrows, never stopping. They storm the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter through the windows like thieves. The earth quakes before them. The sky shakes. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars cease their shining. The Lord makes his voice heard in the presence of his army. His camp is very large. Those who carry out his command are powerful. Indeed, the day of the Lord is terrible and dreadful. Who can endure it? Even now, this is the Lord's declaration. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Tear your hearts, not just your clothes, and return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and he relents from sending disaster. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, so you can offer a grain offering and a drink offering to the Lord your God. Blow the ram's horn in Zion. Announce a sacred fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the aged. Gather the infants, even babies, nursing at the breast. Let the groom leave his bedroom and the bride her honeymoon chamber. Let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, have pity on your people, Lord, and do not make your inheritance a disgrace, an object of scorn among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and spared his people. The Lord answered his people, look, I'm about to send you grain, new wine, and fresh oil. You will be satiated with them, and I will no longer make you a disgrace among the nations. I will drive the northerner far from you and banish him in a dry and desolate land, his front ranks into the Dead Sea, his rear guard into the Mediterranean Sea. His stench will rise. Yes, his rotten smell will rise, for he has done astonishing things. Don't be afraid, land. Rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has done astonishing things. Don't be afraid, wild animals, for the wilderness pastures have turned green. The trees bear their fruit, and the fig tree and grapevine yield their riches. Children of Zion, rejoice and be glad in the Lord your God, because he gives you the autumn rain for your vindication. He sends showers for you, both autumn and spring rain as before. The threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine and fresh oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust ate, the young locust, the destroying locust, and the devouring locust, my great army that I sent against you. You will have plenty to eat and be satisfied. You will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. My people will never again be put to shame. You will know that I am present in Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people will never again be put to shame. After this, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams, and your young men will see visions. I will even pour out my spirit on the male and female slaves in those days. I will display wonders in the heavens and on the earth, flood, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, for there will be an escape for those on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, as the Lord promised. Among the survivors, the Lord calls. Now, Joel chapter 3, we've had the immediate day of the Lord. That's the plague of locusts in chapter 1. We have the intermediate day of the Lord. That's the attack of the Assyrians, which is yet future to the people of Joel's day. But then we have the ultimate or final day of the Lord, final judgment. That's the one future to us. So, day of judgment, chapter 1, day of repentance, chapter 2. You saw that, didn't you? Don't just tear your clothes, tear your heart also in repentance. And then the day of blessing, chapter 3. Yes, in those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all the nations and take them to the valley of Jehoshaphat. I will enter into judgment with them there because of my people, my inheritance, Israel. The nations have scattered the Israelites in foreign countries and divided up my land. They cast lots for my people. They bartered a boy for a prostitute and sold a girl for wine to drink. And also, Tyre, Sidon, and all the territories of Philistia, what are you to me? Are you paying me back or trying to get even with me? I will quickly bring retribution on your heads, for you took my silver and gold and carried my finest treasures to your temples. You sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks to remove them far from their own territory. Look, I am about to rouse them up from the place where you sold them. I will bring retribution on your heads. I will sell your sons and daughters to the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabaeans, to a distant nation, for the Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for holy war. Rouse the warriors. Let all the men of war advance and attack. Beat your plows into swords and your pruning knives into spears. Let even the weaklings say, I am a warrior. Come quickly, all you surrounding nations. Gather yourselves. Bring your warriors there, Lord. Let the nations be roused and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit down to judge all the surrounding nations. Swing the sickle, because the harvest is ripe. Come and trample the grapes, because the wine press is full. The wine vats overflow, because the wickedness of the nations is extreme. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will cease their shining. The Lord will roar from Zion and make his voice heard from Jerusalem. Heaven and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the Israelites. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who dwells in Zion, my holy mountain. Jerusalem will be holy, and foreigners will never overrun it again. In that day, the mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with milk. All the streams of Judah will flow with water, and a spring will issue from the Lord's house, watering the valley of Acacias. Egypt will become desolate, and Edom a desert wasteland, because of the violence done to the people of Judah, in whose land they shed innocent blood. But Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. I will pardon their blood guilt, which I have not pardoned, for the Lord dwells in Zion. This chapter's not been fulfilled yet. Nothing in history corresponds to Joel 3. And I've never forgotten, on one of my trips, Marlene and I have led several tours to Israel. On one of them, we were on the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley, looking to the great city of Jerusalem. An awesome, awesome sight. If you've never done that, you should do that. You should go to, well, when there's peace, when things finally settle down, and we pray they will soon, when there's peace, go to the Holy Land and see it for yourself. Never forgotten, our guide said, see the big valley? Yes. That's the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And he quoted from Joel chapter 3, verse 12, "Let the nations be roused and come to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit down and judge all the surrounding nations." Final judgment has not happened yet, but it will happen when Jesus finally comes back again, the end of the tribulation period, and he comes back to judge the nations and establish his kingdom on the earth. There's going to be forgiveness for the Jews who make it to the end of the tribulation period. The great fountain is going to be opened up. We haven't gotten to Zechariah yet, but we will before we get to the end of December. And we're going to read that about the fountain of forgiveness is going to be opened for the nation, ultimately open for anybody who will believe in Jesus. So just take Joel 2 and Joel 3 and hook it up with Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39, and hook that up with the last few chapters of Isaiah. Here it is, right here. It's right in front of us. I believe we are living in the days just before these events. I mean, we may be the generation privileged to live, to see the fulfillment of these things. I think the rapture of the church, personally, I'm not giving any dates, but I think it can't be very far away. We ought to be excited and looking for the coming of the Lord. So then, friends, what a great book this is. One other thing. Don't have time to get into it too much. So I just will say a quick word about it. You may remember that when we did the book of Acts chapter 2, I pointed out that Peter on the day of Pentecost, AD 33, quoted from Joel chapter 2. Remember the day of Pentecost, all together in one accord, in one place, and they were praying, Holy Spirit came down and settled on the disciples there, and they had tongues of fire, and they were speaking in other languages, and the Jews from these other nations around the Roman Empire heard them speaking and declaring the wonderful works of God in their own language. And the people said, hey, these guys are drunk. And Peter said, these people are not drunk. It's not even 9 o'clock in the morning yet. Then he said, This is that. This, he said, what you're seeing here is the fulfillment. This is what Joel 2 talked about. I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Now, clearly, I think what we ought to understand is this. Joel said it in about 800 B.C. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, AD 33, this is that. Yet clearly, not everything that Joel said or Peter quoted has come to pass about the blood and the fire and the columns of smoke and the sun turned to darkness and the moon to blood and the great and terrible day of the Lord. This is what I think we ought to understand, that the day of Pentecost is the beginning. We are living in the age of the Holy Spirit. God now is willing to pour out His Spirit on all flesh, old men like me, young men, young women, male and female, without regard to race or ethnicity or skin color or culture or education or language. God is willing to pour out His Spirit because this is the age of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is He doesn't just do it so that we will feel good. He does it to empower us to preach the gospel. Why? Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So here's my challenge at the end of this reading of the book of Joel. Lord, fill us with Your Spirit, Spirit of the living God. Fall afresh on me, Spirit of the living God. Fall afresh on me. Mold me, make me, change me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Friends, Jesus is coming soon. We need the Spirit of God to empower us, to cleanse us, to mold us, to change us. Here's my challenge to you. Let's go and pray. Lord, open our hands. Open our hands like this. Lord, fill me with Your Holy Spirit today. Fill me with Your Spirit, the Spirit of joy, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of cleansing, the Spirit of healing, the Spirit of repentance, the Spirit of strength, the Spirit of courage. Lord, fill us with Your Spirit and make us witnesses for You today. You know what? If you'll pray that way, God will answer, and this will be an amazing day for you. So go out from here. Have a wonderful day. This is the very last day of November. Guess what? Starting December, tomorrow, the wonderful book of Hebrews in the New Testament. You don't want to miss it. So God bless. Go out. Have a great day. Come back tomorrow. We'll do this again. See you then.